Good morning, Grace Church. Welcome. My name is Mark Eisner, part of the staff here at Grace, and it's a privilege to stand before you this morning. I had a short conversation this morning with Stephen Witalowicz back in the booth, and he's feeling better now. By the way, his steroids are stoking him up, and he's he's going to be our new Arnold. Here shortly. Anyway, he had told me he had a conversation with his son this morning, and his son said, "Is there Grace Kids today?" And Stephen said, "No, there's not." And he goes, "Oh, is that old guy going to talk again today?" It's not the old guy, it's just a different old guy, is what it amounts to. So, anyway, with it being warm, I am going to not be 30 or 40 minutes, so we'll work through that. But I want to start just with a couple of things this morning. I'm going to read out of Proverbs just to start us. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways, okay, when a man's ways, how he lives, how he walks, you know, who he is, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." And we look at John 8:29, and no, I don't have all this stuff on the screen. I'm not as tech savvy as Don is, and I'm not nearly as organized as Don is, so forgive me for that. I'm sorry. But in John 8:29, and this is Jesus speaking of the Father, he said, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." I want you to think about, as we're walking through this a little bit today, about pleasing God. Question is posed to me, when we model our lives after Jesus, are we modeling them from the Jesus that lived or the Jesus that's living? So I want you to think about that again. Okay, Jesus was born, came to earth, lived 33 years, give or take, and then he was crucified, died, and rose again. And now he's living in heaven. So that's the truth that the scripture tells us. So, I want you to think through this. Are we living our lives from a point of Jesus' life here on earth, or are we living our lives based off of where Jesus is in heaven? Because in heaven, he had to go there so the Holy Spirit could indwell us. So, I want to live my life like Jesus did, because I want to spend eternity with Jesus there, living that life also. That's what we're thinking through. That's what we're walking through today. That's what we need to focus on today, is a life that's pleasing to God, because that's what Jesus did here on earth as well. I don't know that you can say, I'm living my life for one or the other, because we're really living our life for eternity. This is the life we have here on earth, and it's a blip. It's a short time. We're living our lives for eternity. So just mull that in your head this week. Think through that. It's some interesting things to think on. So if we go to 1 Thessalonians 4, with the Don being gone, oh, by the way, he arrived home, I think it was late yesterday, something like that. But he is home. They're alive yet. They're recuperating. You know, it was a long trip. It was super busy. They did a lot of different things in Turkey. So it was Don, it was his daughter Lisa, and it was Don's granddaughter Viola that were there for roughly 10 days. So yeah, but they did make it home. So we'll have more to report as time goes on here. But I know they're resting well, and keep praying for them as they rest up. But anyway, if we look at 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to do verses 1 and 2. With Don being gone, we wanted to keep this moving in Thessalonians so we get done before the end of 2029 or something like that. But he said you could only handle two verses. And I said, awesome. I love that. So he didn't say that. That was my words. But anyway, it says, finally then, brothers. Finally then, brothers. A comma after each one of those words. And we'll get into that. We ask and urge you in the name of Lord Jesus that as you received or learned what Paul taught them while he was living with them, that as you received or learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we've opened up your word. We want to look into your word. We want to hear from you, Father, and understand well how this looks in the context that it was said in. And since your word is living and always worth hearing and listening to and sifting through it and tearing it apart, it still is alive, it still is well, it still feeds us and leads us to who we need to be, where we need to go, and your constant love for us and how much you love us. So may we experience that this morning as we walk through your word, as we listen to what you have to say. And Lord, if you could fix the air conditioner, it'd be great. We would appreciate that. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus, because he has conquered all. Amen. Okay, at this point, if we look at Thessalonians, at this point, we're halfway through the book, roughly. And he uses the word finally. And then he uses the word then. And then he uses the word brothers. Well, finally, think of the finally as, okay, you know, I went through the first three chapters. We've talked about a lot of different things. We reminisced about what I did, what I talked to you about. We've done all these things just to prep for this. I've got something I really want to tell you. That's going to happen. Really, it's going to happen next week is when he gets into that. when Don comes back. He'll be talking about starting at verse 3 in the fourth chapter. Just a heads up, on the 12th, there is going to be Grace Kids, and the message is going to be, and this is just, I want you to think through this. Maybe for the little ones, it isn't going to be the best ones. If you want to keep your kids beside you and not send them to Grace Kids, maybe this is a good time to send them to Grace Kids. So we will have another announcement about that coming out, but I just want to make you aware. You know, that he's going to be talking about things. Because if you read that chapter from verse 3 to the end, you're going to get a little idea of what I'm referencing. And Don, I don't know what he's going to say. Every once in a while, he says something that kind of, oh, okay, you know. So it's kind of a surprise to us. And that's okay. But be aware. Okay, you've been warned. Okay, now we'll go on. We're halfway through. He gets to the finally. Finally means that, okay, then brothers, he says, meaning I want you to know. So he says that because it's kind of a Pauline phrase. Paul does that a lot of different times. He's just ready to teach now. He's encouraged them and brought them along to where he's kind of has their attention and wants to teach them. Almost kind of where we are now. It's finally now I can get into this. So he puts a framework together, and that's going to be in 2 weeks. But he says, brothers, I ask and I urge you. So he's saying, okay, everybody, listen up. I want you to be very careful, because I'm going to give you some information that I want you to listen to, and I urge you. So this isn't a something that's light. It's a heavier word that we need to take aware of. It's not necessarily a command. We'll get to that later, because there's another place in this where there is a command. But this isn't urging. This is a strong consideration. I really want you to think through this. So he said, I urge you in the Lord Jesus. I ask and I urge you in the Lord Jesus. So he's qualifying this. He is an apostle, which gives him great authority. And he's using that authority because Paul is one who has seen the risen Savior. I'd love to go down that path, but I can't, you know, I can't explain it. I've never had that experience. But Paul has. On his road to Damascus, he was knocked off his horse, and he got to see Jesus in this bright light that blinded him for 3 days. So you think about all these things. He is speaking from a place that none of these other people have seen. Nobody's experienced that. So he's urging them. He wants them to understand what he's going to be doing here and why. And he's talking to not Jews, he's talking to Gentiles who live a total different life with a total different outlook on it, with total different values and different things like that. So that's who he's talking to. So we need to bring that into the picture. He's talking to people like us. People who haven't lived by the Torah their whole life. Haven't been strictly taught and brought up and carried through all that. And if you want to put words into their mouths, if I can do that, please. As a Jew, they're living up here, at least in their minds. They're good, clean, proper citizens. This is the way you do life, and we're doing everything right, and we're not doing anything wrong. So you need to listen to us because we know. When yet they really didn't. They didn't know the Savior. Who Paul is talking to, this group of people knows Jesus. They know Jesus. They're saved. They're walking with Jesus. And he's telling them that it's because of Jesus, what Jesus has done. It's not what they're doing. It's not what they did. It's not what they've done. It's what Jesus has done in their lives that have given them this opportunity to know him and to walk with him. So that's where he's coming from with what he's saying. He's talking into them. And again, it's who they have their faith in is what's important. It's not what we do. And that's what Paul is walking them through. It's who we have. It's about Jesus. It's not about what I do and who I am, all this kind of stuff. Meaning, it's not that we don't do the right thing, but I can't save myself. Only Jesus can do that. And they have. The Thessalonians have. In other words, he wants to help them. Paul wants to help them achieve a godly character. In our vision statement, do we know that? It's the first piece is to know him, to know Jesus. The second piece is to become like him. That's what Paul's talking about, is that piece right there, to become like him. That's what he's talking to the Thessalonians about, is becoming like Jesus. That's where he's urging them. He's walking them through that. And if we think about that, he's urging them to become the image of the Son. If you turn to Romans 8:29, if you'd do that for it, if you have your Bible, turn to Romans 8:29. Has anybody got it? Yep, I'm going to push you a little bit. 8:29. Who wants to belt it out?
I got it.
Read it, please.
Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
Yeah, amen. So we're to be his image. We're to be like him. So he's doing that. That's what Paul is doing. He's told them this before. He was there. He lived with them for a while. So he's told him that, and we just have to keep looking toward that. And that's what he's doing. He's urging them to do that. I wanted to tell you a story about my wife and her urging me to lose weight constantly. You know, 50 years ago, you know, when I had a beautiful head of flowing hair, and I had a six-pack, and my hair left, and my six-pack disappeared. We won't get any more than that. But she is a good coach. She is urging me. She's urging me to get healthy, work out, be that guy you used to be, at least looking at. She doesn't want me to be the guy I was, not being mature in Jesus. I'm not saying I am, so don't take it that way. But she is a good encourager when it comes to those things. That's what Paul was doing. Paul was urging them on. He was pushing them. And that's important that we understand that we all need to be pushed. As we look at this, he said, we're doing this so we can please God. And he says, just as you are doing. So he's recognizing that they're doing that. And when I just started thinking about this verse and meditating on it, this is Grace Community Church. It really is. You listen to the Shalinskys talk and how we've come alongside them the last 2.5 years. If you have the privilege to have talked to people that have come in the doors over the years, it's become a family where we urge each other on, and we watch people step up, step in, and be Jesus to their family, to their neighbors, to their friends, to the community, lots of different ways. It's how God's created you, and we're seeing you use your giftedness to do those things. That's what Paul is telling the Thessalonians. We're the same people. People are the same everywhere. Just because it's a different time frame doesn't mean that the people were different. They're still selfish. They're still lost. But you're doing these things. And he said, continue more and more. And so I want to urge you. I want to commend you. Thank you for following and walking with Jesus. Thank you for walking with your families and your friends and your community. Thank you for what you're doing. But there's more. And there will always be more. We serve an infinite God. We will never make it. So if I just get to this line as close as I can get, I've made it. No, we never get to that point, ever. We serve an infinite God. We can't imagine what he has for us the more we lay down our life. The more we love one another, the more we walk beside each other, the more we serve. There is no limit. And you think, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do this. But you don't have to. It's not you that's got to do it anyway. It's God through you. It's Jesus through you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you that does it. He's very clear when he talks in the scripture that it's not by our power, but it's by his power that we do these things. So who do we think we are that we think we can do this when we can't? We have to have Jesus in us and working through us to do those things. And there's more. And then the next day, there's more. It's a never-ending stream that God is giving us. And I didn't use the word blessings or anything like that. And it is, but we have to have a definition of blessing, so I just want to hold on to that. It's hard. Life is hard. I always ask myself, how do people do this without knowing Jesus? How do they make these decisions and live life without knowing Jesus? Man, I'd be a mess. I'm a mess as it is. But I have Jesus. So again, it's the more. Do you Do you want the more? Do you desire the more that Jesus has for us? By laying down your life every day for him. If he's an infinite God, we can't imagine that, so we know he's got more. Because he says he is. No beginning, no end. And how does he keep the world running? He's got to have something more than we got, because we can't figure that out. Not even close. We can't think like he thinks. So there's got to be more. Do we want the more? The more of Jesus. He walks through verse 2 and he says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Again, he's using his apostolic authority to talk about that. But this is more of a command. He's using this word more of a military word for a leader and his followers. When Jesus left this earth, the end of Matthew, he said, "Go into all the world," right? And that word "go" is a command, just like Paul uses here for the Thessalonians. He wants us to take this more and more that God said he'd give us, to keep feeding us, to keep giving us everything we need to do the work he has for us. And we all have a different calling. But he wants us to go. He's commanding us, make it happen. Trust me that you can do this through my power. Lay down your life. I can't do it in my own strength. I have to die to myself. If there's one thing that Jesus wants from us, is what's the greatest commandment? Go ahead, belt it out. Love God and love others, right? I mean, that's the shortest way we can form it, really. Love God. He doesn't tell us necessarily to love everything else around us. I love my wife. I love where I live. I love doing the job for ADM that I did for 30 years. I love being outside. But what he wants and he's asking is for us to love him and him alone. So that as he fills your cup, as he fills my cup, it can overflow. It doesn't go through me, does it? In the scripture, he says it overflows. Because if I'm to give, I have to be full. If I'm to live the life that God wants for me, I have to be full. I can't do it when I'm empty. You don't put a gallon of gas in your car and take off and then, oh, he's going to need some more, another 3-5 miles. I got to get some more gas. You fill it up, right? And sometimes you run it over. Done that too. I hate that. But it's the same principle. He fills us up so we run over. Are we spending time with him to where he can fill us up and so we can run over? That's what we're looking at. That's what we're talking about. That's where the more comes in. Because he keeps filling it and it keeps running over. And I can love my wife then. I can appreciate where I live because it's a gift. I can use my giftedness to the fullest and not burn out because he's filling me all the time. Are we exhausted? Are we tired? I mean, we do need sleep. There's no doubt about it. But let's think about these words. And think about what we get. And yeah, I'm jumping clean to the end. What comes with filling? What do we get when it comes fulfilling? One of the things that I've questioned for you, and I want you to think about this. Write it down if you would. Do you ever feel like obedience to God is a dry duty? Yeah, we do. And you know when we do that? It's when we're exhausted. We're not being filled. We need to be filled to do that. The two other questions we really didn't touch about, but sometimes the second one we serve out of an approval junkie mindset, where, you know, I'm serving because I just need you to encourage me. I'm serving because I want the accolades from what comes back. I'm serving because it's the only way I keep going. And if I don't get my way to go, good job, all this kind of stuff, I'm going to collapse because I need that. As we look at what we're reading, whose approval are we seeking? Am I seeking man's approval? Am I seeking the approval from my wife? If I had great hair and a six-pack, you know, she'd probably approve of me a little bit more. But yet, on the other hand, would I be a different individual? Could I love her more? Would God be able to overflow my vessel so that the overflow of what God is giving me, she gets the pouring of it? She gets it all? Or she gets some of it? Enough that she needs? Because she's doing the same thing. She's coming to God and saying, I want all of you. I want you to fill me so I can overflow. So we can overflow together to our kids. So we can overflow together to Grace Community Church and to our community. That's the more. That's what we're looking for. Do I appreciate approval? Yeah, we all do. But do we live for it? Am I a junkie? Am I addicted to it? I can be addicted to things. And the last one is, what is one area in which you are finding it hard to obey God? And how does this speak to your heart? How do we love Jesus? That's the obedience we're looking for. How do we love God? By doing what he's asking us. That's what we're looking for. I want the worship team to come up if they would, please. I want you to think through is what you're doing pleasing to God? Filling as he fills us, as our cup gets full and starts to run over, he is pleased that we're doing this. And I want you to think about that. And for him to fill us, we have to spend time with him. So we're not doing anything. We're being with him. Fill your cup. Think about that.